Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Welcome back to another episode of Money Honeys, where we,
Freddie,
Devin,
and Chantel bring you all the chisme about those sweet, sweet dollar bills.
Mm-hmm. Dollar bills, y'all. Mm-hmm. Where to get them, how to get them, and how to make sure you get them on time.
Exactly, which is why today we're talking about the financial mistakes we've made as freelancers.
Oof.
Yeah.
We've done an episode where we talked about the pros and cons of freelance versus full-time. So if you're looking for a full comprehensive look at that comparison, be sure to check that one out. Mm-hmm. Because today we're putting ourselves on blast and calling out our mistakes.
Oh my God. So many. Buckle up. This is going to be fun.
For the folks at home, let's run through the types of freelance work we all do and what we're currently working on. And I can go first. So I do Instagram campaigns, brand deals, DJing, and
acting.
And
to whisper it.
Acting. Say it.
Like your mom.
Say it.
No, she's good. You should say it's real good.
Tell them. You should tell them. They want to know.
I'm crying. They want
to
know.
They're so proud of you. You have to tell them.
Oh, I'm crying. All right. I'm a producer director type. I also run a YouTube channel. I pole dance and I act as well.
And then I am a director producer type as well. And then also do screenwriting on the side, as well as creating my own kind of like short films. Hopefully soon to be feature films. Devin has been in one of my short films. She was amazing.
Mm, thanks.
Wow. What can't we do, you guys?
Fly.
It's from Ever After, one of the best movies in the world. What can't we do?
Well, gals, shall we dive in?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Okay. Maybe we won't go to the break yet because it's only been 2 minutes.
It's been 2 minutes. And
I thought the part would take longer, but it's good that it hasn't taken longer. Okay. Let's start big and get this out of the way. What is your absolute number one financial tip for freelancers out there, gals?
Goodness.
I mean, I think for me, it is absolutely set aside 50% of every check. Now, I think that that's probably a bit overkill, but it has worked for me.
You have to.
Because there's just always some kind of hidden costs somewhere later down the road that you're going to have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, if you can, set aside 50% of those paychecks for taxes and other bullshit.
Yeah, very big asterisk on that and other bullshit.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because it comes up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would say start with an emergency fund. You're going to freelancing, budget out X amount of dollars a week that you start putting into an emergency fund, because when you are freelancing, there are going to be some dry spells. So if you have an emergency fund, it's not so critically sad, if that makes sense.
Yes. It makes it so that you're able to enjoy those dry spells as time off,
mm-hmm.
versus being, oh shit, I need to work right now.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest tip, I think, is getting the paperwork for your job signed as soon as possible. And knowing exactly what that job is going to entail.
Tell me more.
Right from the bat. Right off the bat. Especially because different types of work will sometimes have different terms for things that you're not accustomed to. So like even, I know Devin and I, we've both been diving into the live production world. Mm-hmm. My experience with that is that there's some terminology there that I think means one thing in non-live world.
Like what?
And it means something different in there. Have you ever been part of a pinning test?
Yeah.
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 What the hell is a pinning test?
Yeah, what is that? Enlighten me.
I mean, it's like when you, I just was in one yesterday. Mm-hmm. It's basically when you go into, they do a mock live stream and they have to log all the products into the GMC, which is basically like, it's, remember OBS when we used to stream for Ladylike or Unladylike? Mm-hmm. It's basically like looking at the OBS backend and seeing how they can pin everything. Because in the chat, that's where you pin it.
Yeah.
And then people can see it.
Yeah. It's like they get all the products loaded into the shopping manager, mm-hmm. and which can sometimes take hours.
Wow.
And then people on the tech team, like you have to do the full live stream run through so that people on the tech team and everyone is aligned on pinning the products at the right time so that your host can say, and if you want to buy this right here, click on that link in the chat right now. It's pinned right there. Or sometimes it'll be like a native like banner that comes up if it's the type of player that you can actually click on. Mm-hmm. And so it'll be like, click right here. Like the banner on top right here has the exact thing that you're that I'm showing you right now is shit like that.
So it's all based on timing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like you obviously need to be at a certain place in your script.
Mm-hmm. It's like a tech rehearsal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tech rehearsal because with live, there's a shit ton of tech. Mm-hmm. It's like all tech.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But anyways, so yeah, something for me has been having folks setting the exact expectation of what your job is going to be and how much they're going to pay you for that exact job.
Yeah. Like I, what you're hinting at, I think, too, is really being a bulldog at the beginning of the process.
Mm-hmm.
So say someone's like, "Who? What are you doing for the next 10 weeks? I could really use a producer like you," or whatever. You can say, "Okay, this is what I want to do. This is what kind of producer you need. Okay, I can do this, this, and this. My rate is X, and come in strong with that rate." So for an example, on the show that I'm on now, they wanted to, I had worked with this production company before. I adore them. I love them. But they were like, "Hey, we're going to let you be a producer on this." I was like, no, I'm a co-EP. Remember, last job you booked me for, I was a co-EP. This job you're going to book me for is for a co-EP. I'm not going to accept less than this. And then it's kind of pushy, but if you're your bulldog up top, then you can relax for the 10 weeks of the job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
because once you start doing your work, and you're good at your work, then they're just like, "We're so lucky to have you."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're like, "Thank you, mutual."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you can go on your merry way as you collect your money.
Yeah. And then that's also to like ask for a statement of work. Like get your SOW, read it, and look over what they need. Because they'll put it down in there. Yeah. And then that'll become your best friend if something goes awry later.
Yeah.
Just get those statements of work.
And even after you have that SOW or before you have that SOW, make sure that you know exactly what the role is. Mm. I had some confusion over the term development because it was training and development. And so I said, I thought, okay, training me for the role and in my development as the role. No, they were talking about show development.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, that would have been a different rate.
Yeah.
That would have been a way different rate. I like y'all. So we're going to keep it cute. And then they wound up bumping my rate thereafter. It was like one rate for the first couple weeks and then a second rate for the next few weeks. And so then they bumped up my rate for those last few weeks and started it a week early.
Now, did you have a conversation with them to get them there?
I did.
Good for you.
I did. And it was not a tense conversation at all. Very lovely people.
Mm-hmm.
but it was me saying, hey, had I known that this was going to be the work, I would have charged a different rate. And because they were incredibly nice people, they felt bad. And they were like, oh, we see where the confusion was. We understand that confusion. Can we bump up your rate for this next portion and start it a week early? And I said, yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. And that was it. Mm-hmm. We continued on with the show. And then it was very much like, thanks for having me. Thank you for being here. We love working with you. We love working with you. Goodbye.
Yeah.
You know? But so that was a big learning, is truly dissecting every single word that is presented to you, because a lot of times it is very on the fly of like, hey, what are you up to? Like, we need someone. Exactly what you said, Deb. Exactly what you said of, hey, we're looking for someone like you for the next 2 weeks. Do you have time? And then it's like, okay, yes. What is this? What is, you know, can you accommodate my rate? What are the expectations? Are you New York hours? Are you LA hours? Are you, you know, all that stuff.
Right. And in our work, you know, creative or producing, there's so many different types of producers. Mm-hmm. Do you need a line producer? Do you need a creative producer? Do you need blah, 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 blah? Do you need a talent producer? Do you need whatever? Like, what kind of work is it? So that's why I think we have trained ourselves to be very clean and clear at up top, mm-hmm. because you can, yeah, you can get into a job and they're like, no, actually it's expected that you do this, this, and this, this. Mm-hmm. And also asking how much support you're going to get.
Absolutely. Mm.
Do I get an AP? Do I not? Do I have any, you know, that kind of thing is huge.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm-hmm. And then even with different companies. So I freelanced for like digital companies, like Attention and Refinery 29 and stuff like that. I've also freelanced for people who were making stuff kind of on their own or with like a celeb attached or something like that, but it was very much through just kind of on their own. And there's times even with companies, and I really do like freelancing with like full companies, but even times with that where it's like, okay, yeah, can you start this week? Yeah, I can. Like, can you, like, what are the exact dates that I'll be working? And then make sure that you have it listed out. So it's like you have 12 days of prep, 3 days of shoot, 4 days of wrap. Here's the rate. Here's your day rate for every single one of those days. So you know exactly how much you're getting paid for that work that you're doing.
Yeah.
Because there's so many times it's like, oh, yeah, well, the shoot's this date. And then, you know, we'll like have, and then that'll kind of be it. And it's like, no, no, no. Like, just totally hear that. Love that. That works for my schedule. Are you able to just tell me the exact work dates that, right. that we're expecting?
Right.
And that's an easy ask. And then they're like, oh, yeah, here it is. Because when everyone is on the same page, it really makes it easier for them too.
So much better.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, I would also be very clear about any kind of, when you take a new job freelance, talk to them up front. Like I said, be a bulldog up front so you can relax in the back end. But talk to them about your days that you need off. Mm-hmm. So like, oh, I have a wedding. Oh, I have this. Tell them that up front. So then, and put it in an email. Put everything in an email. Mm-hmm. We love receipts on the show. I feel like we need a sound effect whenever we talk about get your receipts, like a cha-ching, you know, like, because it comes out smelling like roses later when you can like point to the email and be like, no, I asked for this day off, you mm-hmm. know, yeah. Where I think we're also used to, you know, from like the college idea of like, just get the job, you know, just like hustle and lie to get the job. No, you didn't lie.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was a me thing. Yeah. But no, be upfront and be honest. And to that end, sometimes I will flat out be like, hey, I'm in a double dip.
Mm-hmm.
And which means take two freelance jobs at once. And you then that way you can negotiate. If you tell them that upfront, they much appreciate it rather than you double dipping and trying to manage your time, mm-hmm. and then they find out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like even for this one gig that I'm on now, they said, can you start on such and such date? And I said, I'm going to be completely transparent. I'm on another show. It wraps on this date 4 days later. Mm-hmm. So the options are either I try to take on some of your work as I'm wrapping that job out, or I can start after that job is done. Mm-hmm. And they said, okay, got it. We'll have you start after the job's done.
Right.
And I said, okay, cool.
Yeah.
You know, because then it's just everyone was on the same page versus me being super stressed of trying to wrap out another job and being like, oh, shit, I got to respond to them. They can't know that, I. And it's like it wouldn't have been worth it for those 3 days of like double pay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Maybe for a Beyonce ticket. But, we got to start saving for that Beyonce concert. Mm-hmm.
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Hey everyone, it's Jalen here from the Black Wealth Renaissance podcast. If you're a fan of business podcasts, then be sure to check out and subscribe to the Black Wealth Renaissance podcast, a show that covers business, career development, and tips to increase your income. And the best part, it's brought to you exclusively by the Revolt Podcast Network, anchored in hip hop, powered by creators.
Well, talk to me about contracts, Fred, because I know that you've been presented with contracts before for these brand deals.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, pretty much I have been blessed to have a team and a lawyer on my side who, like, will review everything and look everything over in addition to me reading those fine print and those fine lines. I have definitely found myself, like, confused about where my payments are and expecting a certain thing because I didn't necessarily read, like, oh, it's going to be net 30 or didn't read it, it's going to be net 90 when I'm like, what's going on? A lot of times, it's been, and so, yeah, with payment, I've definitely had some shocking moments. Like, for example, a lot of times it's like the net 60 or the net 90 or the net 30 will begin as soon as the content goes live on social. It's, and I really do kind of wish there was a way to make it so the net 90 begins like as soon as I submit my first proposal. Because I've been doing work.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times it's a month or two before it even goes live. Mm-hmm. So, you know, 2 and 3 months after it goes live, I've been like doing work for this brand at this point almost like 5 and 6 months, and it just feels like it feels very delayed, and it does feel like that time isn't being counted or valued of all the prep that goes into making this content and making sure that it's like effective and goes live and looks good and all these things. A lot of times brands are very, I think, like, generally brands are quite stern on the net 90, net 60, net 30. Like, I've in the past, I've tried to negotiate, like, hey, can we get this down to 30? Can we get this down? And, like, generally the answers have been no.
Wow.
So I'm not sure exactly how to navigate that, but I think the best way to sort of just control your own narrative and not be caught off guard is to just make sure that you are reading exactly from what point this net 30, 60, or 90 begins.
Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous that we have net 90s.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And a lot of times, sometimes if they are not willing to move on the payment schedule, you can ask for a higher rate.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that is something that I haven't done yet, but it's something that I should do. Mm-hmm. It's something I should
do. It's a mistake. Which is the category that we're in right now.
Yeah.
What have our mistakes been?
Yeah, and I think almost, like, kind of getting creative with your asks. So even, like, even if it's, like, if it's not a higher rate, okay, can they provide glam?
Compensate for gas.
Yeah, gas. Like, you know, some kind of something. The money is there.
Oh, no, yeah.
And a lot of times people aren't asking for these, like, little small, like, more in the weeds type of compensation questions. But it can be very helpful. And a lot of times, like, sometimes they will give it to you, especially because a lot of creators probably aren't asking for it.
Right.
So I would say just get creative with your asks and make sure you are reading everything super thoroughly so that you are budgeting properly for the time, however long it takes you to get paid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A mistake that I've made in the past is not invoicing in a timely manner.
Mm.
It didn't affect me. It didn't lead to a complication of like, oh, you're already off and like blah, 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 all that stuff. It was more so a complication of my personal finances. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, once you're if the job is an invoice type thing, once you're done with the job, like, have your invoice ready.
Yeah.
Hit submit on that thing in case it is a net 30 and they take the full 30.
Yeah.
Because I've had experiences where it's like, oh, yeah, we're net 30, but they pay out in like a week or two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which we love.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's not that way.
Yeah.
And so there have been times where I'm like, oh, I wish I would have submitted my invoice right when the job was done versus like getting kind of lazy and then waiting 2 weeks and being like, oh, all right, when's that payment coming in?
Yeah. You know, it's like, girl, you ain't even sent the invoice yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I will say I am quite serious about my invoices. Literally,
That checks out.
Like, I already have it drafted up, ready to go.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't play about my goddamn money.
That's no. Right.
No.
No, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
No, ma'am.
Another thing I'll say is ask about kit fees.
Yeah.
Huge. And I think that's across the board. Like, we talk mostly about production because that's the world in which we work. But I think, you know, if you're doing any kind of freelance work of like tutoring or whatever, ask about compensating you for use of your own equipment, whether it be a laptop, DJ equipment, mm-hmm. your car. Like, they should be paying for that, because you know what you're not getting in freelance work is health insurance. You're not getting basic things that you get in a salary job. So mm-hmm. try to stack it up front, because like you said at the top, 50% of what you make weekly is going to go towards taxes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's actually like
asterisks and other bullshit.
Yeah. And other bullshit.
We pray for less, and we love it when it's less.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it will be less than that.
Yeah.
But enough times it hasn't been.
Just do 50%, because it's like maybe 35% goes to taxes, and then the other 15 should go to your savings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know.
100%.
I have something to add.
Yeah.
Another tip. I would say like, Get petty with your business expenses for tax time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think a lot of times we can forget, or even just like out of laziness. I know mm-hmm. for me, out of laziness, I haven't like, there's been opportunities for me to like write off dinners with people in the creative space that could be considered like business engagements that can be written off come tax time. That DJ equipment is going to be written off during tax time. When I went to Howard Homecoming, I ended up getting booked to do a set at one of the parties, which is really exciting. I'm going to figure out a way to sort of expense maybe the flight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The clothing.
Clothing. Yeah.
George, who's now my tax guy, yeah. George Azar, God love him. He told me that they're starting to crack down on all that.
Yeah.
They are.
Which is bullshit.
They are. Even like writing off... Because it used to be easy to write off like the home office expense, but then my tax guy, because I asked about it for my last taxes, and my office was kind of like in our like loft with like workout equipment and stuff. And I was like, can I write off my home office? And he was like, is it a specific room that is only used as an office, has a door, everything? And I was like, well, no, there's like workout equipment. He was like, I'm not going to put you through the risk of that. He was like, I had one of my clients do a home office write-up. IRS showed up at his door, and thank God he had an actual legit home office. But Isn't that nuts?
That's petty. No, that's stupid.
When, it's petty.
When was this? When did this happen?
Like a year or two ago.
Okay. So
like
I
recent.
Think,
because
yeah.
COVID times, everyone was like writing off home office.
And even, I guess I will say, yeah, like with last year's taxes, she did tell me. I was able to write off. I wrote off some stuff.
Yeah.
But definitely make sure that it makes sense.
Right.
Whatever you're writing
consult
off.
Your tax professional. Yeah. But like with meals and flights and stuff like that, that's pretty,
yeah.
pretty run of the mill, which yeah. is nice.
Mm-hmm. Another thing, open a business account. You don't have to be a business to have a business account. Open another bank account that you get paid out of. And then you pay yourself into your normal bank account. Because then you'll see, if you start thinking of yourself as a business, even if you aren't an S Corp or an LLC, mm-hmm. you'll start setting aside money for that those business type expenses. And then come tax time, it comes so much easier.
It's a lot easier yeah. if it's all separated out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you can make a business account without having an LLC or yeah. an S Corp attached to it?
It's just a different bank account.
Yeah, yeah. You might not be able to open a quote-unquote business account, but you can just open a checking account
yeah.
mm-hmm. and consider that your own personal business account.
Yeah.
Because I know at Chase, to open a business account, I think they needed like my EIN.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Which is like the social security number for your business.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically, I'm going to head out of the pod early.
Oh, my God.
Because I have a meeting for one of my freelance jobs.
Is this a rap meeting? Tell us a little bit more what kind of meeting this is.
This is a talent meeting.
Ooh.
I'm already on to my next thing.
So you're meeting the talent.
Meeting the talent.
Okay.
For the first time.
All right. Wow.
One of three.
Okay.
And they seem lovely.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Well, good luck.
Have a great meeting.
Thanks, gals.
Mm-hmm. And we're back, y'all, and we're talking about our financial mistakes that we've made as freelancers. Chantel has left us. I already feel her presence.
Yes.
Gone. So sad. But she has to work as a freelance. We're working.
Yeah.
You know?
This is real life, y'all.
I know. And I think we should maybe stay on this idea of asking for your rate just a little bit longer, because yeah. I think it's really important, especially for women.
Mm-hmm.
Who underestimate their worth. Not all women, of course, but I think a lot of us do.
Yes.
So I think when it comes to setting your rate and asking for what you need, it's thinking about, like you brought up, the time that you're doing in the prep work. It's, they may not value your time, but you should value your time.
Yes.
Right? And it's putting that into the budget. Because when a dry spell does come, you can have extra funds mm-hmm. to really relax and enjoy that dry spell.
Exactly.
Do you have any tips for building up the confidence to ask for your rate?
So it's interesting. I do kind of want to touch on like the idea of imposter syndrome,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that working for yourself and not being working full-time for a company can sort of do a number on your mental in terms of like, wait, so now I guess I'm the person who believes in me, right? I'm mm-hmm. I am saying that I'm the expert.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, you know, Daddy BuzzFeed or anyone telling me that I'm the expert to give me the confidence to ask for my rate. Like at this point, I'm on my own and I just have to have the confidence and know that I have the experience to do a good quality job.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes there will be jobs where you may not have necessarily, like, have there ever been jobs, Devin, for you where, like, you've taken on a role and you haven't done, you know, maybe certain aspects of that role before and you have asked for a certain rate for it and you just kind of were like, wait, but, am I even qualified?
Mm-hmm.
Like how did you deal with that? Because I've kind of had that experience as well.
I think it's a mindset where you go in and you say, okay, I'm charging for my time, but they're paying for my expertise. So in that, and that's two different things. I'm charging them for the hours spent either looking up how to do what they want me to do,
mm-hmm.
figuring it out, piecing together their expectations with what I can actually bring. And they're paying for your expertise, meaning they trust you to get the job done.
Yeah.
So sometimes you'll get hired by folks who like try to really be like a a middleman with your time and be like, no, I want you to do this. And no, you can't take this time off or blah, 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 blah. And it's like, no, you're not paying for my time. I am budgeting out that because I'm a freelancer.
Right.
You are paying for my expertise. Yeah. I'm going to come in here and handle, I'm going to be across this one aspect of this company or your work. So you don't have to worry about it. And that's what you're paying for.
Yeah.
So I think when it comes to imposter syndrome, it needs to like, you really need to think like, I'm an expert in this. And even if I'm not an expert, I'm going to get it done.
Yeah.
It's just trust. It's having trust that you'll get it done. Because you have this up to this point, you've gotten it done. And yeah, you're not going to know everything going into everything. Because if you did, how boring would that be?
Right.
You know, you're always going to be learning something new. But, you know, finding the way, like sometimes I even have like docs of how to ask questions like and sound smart. Like, huh, I've never heard it called that way before. Can you tell me what you mean? Or like, I know what this means. Is that something that you think? Because then that way, when you do have to ask questions, and sometimes asking a lot of questions can make people feel like an imposter, you still set yourself up for success by sounding smart.
Yeah, and by referencing previous experience or previous mm-hmm. projects that you've worked on. Because it's like, oh yeah, I've done this version of this before at your company or for you. How do you guys operate?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think that's a big thing. So always, because people try to buy your time, and that's why you're freelance.
Yeah.
If you wanted people to own your time, you'd be a salaried position.
Mm-hmm. Because they do have that control mm-hmm. From 9 to 5 or 9 to 6, whatever mm-hmm. those hours.
Or even at before they, when you're salaried, they overreach all the time.
Yeah.
Because they're paying for your bennies, they're paying for your taxes, et cetera, et cetera. No. Freelance, that's your time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would say also in terms of figuring out how to set a rate, definitely ask others who are freelancing in that space.
Yeah, that's huge.
What they charge.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's so interesting. I actually saw a tweet the other day of this photographer, and she tweeted something like, wow, like, and this is paraphrase, but wow, photographers are out here charging $1,700 for two looks in a 2-hour shoot. Here I am charging $200. And it was almost, the way that she wrote, it was actually a really smart tweet. Because the way she wrote it made it seem like she was saying that people were photographers were overcharging. But she basically ended the tweet by saying, damn, I need to bring my rates up.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you want to, a lot of times people are going to ask you to do it for the love or just like this really quick shoot. Like just, it's going to be quick, you know.
It's never quick.
And also there's just a lot of prep that goes into a lot of these shoots. Like really, really take note of all of the preparation, even just like ideating. Figuring out what studio space. All of these things are coming from your brain.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these things that require your particular creative brain or whatever space you're in. That's what it requires, and you should be charging for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you touched on something there about people like knowing. You touched on something about asking other people what their rates are.
Mm-hmm.
Like Chantel and I have gotten back and forth thousands of times about our rates because it's because I know what she's making. She knows what I'm making. It brings me the confidence to go in the room and be like, no, this is the market ask. Like,
yeah,
you know, I've been doing this for X amount of years right now. So
yeah.
I, you know, and that also makes you feel like less of an imposter if you, you know, cross compare notes with other people who are doing it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So yeah, the transparency is so key,
mm-hmm.
Especially in the freelance world. You don't want to get caught lowballing yourself
mm-hmm.
because kind of like we've said before, the dry spells are real and they do happen, and you want to make sure that you're setting yourself up for success in those spaces.
Right. Definitely. So sometimes when you're freelance, you feel like you need to take every job
mm-hmm.
because dry spells can be scary.
Yeah.
Especially when they've been going on for longer than you expected.
Yes.
And I know that I have done this, fallen into this cursed position where I just fill my plate too much and then I'm burnt out at the end. So how do you deal with that, Fred?
I've definitely had this experience. So I think that my first go-to is instead of stressing myself out and feeling beholden to deadlines that were agreed on, you know, in the initial terms of these jobs, I have definitely gone back to them and said, hey, life has gotten out of a little out of my control. This deadline does not feel realistic for me. Can we push it 4 days, or can we push it a week? Generally, to my surprise, they've always said yes.
Oh, yeah. They want good work, too.
They do. They do. So I would not. And as scary as it could be, because you're like, oh, like I told them that I could have it done at this point, and now I'm like going back and forth. Are they going to think that I'm like flaky or not reliable? No, I think that in the end, and kind of what we were talking about earlier, like being transparent about, hey, I have this other show happening right now. Or, hey, like I actually ended up getting this other opportunity that I really want, and I really want to make both work. Do you have any flexibility with this deadline?
Right. Because remember, you're the expert.
Yeah.
You're coming to the table with either your expertise or your audience or your knowledge, your experience. So they want 100% of that.
Yes.
And if you say you need more time, you need more time.
Exactly.
And I think that brings us up to a good like conversation point about boundaries when you're freelancing. Because sometimes when people start paying you, they really think that they own you.
Yeah.
Especially in production. Because production, you can be on set for like, you're supposed to only be on set for 12-hour days.
But.
And those 12-hour days turn into 16-hour days. So when do you know when to say no? When to lay down the law?
Wow. That's a great question. Because I haven't done a lot of freelance set work in this way where I'm not talent. And so what my assumption would be, you kind of just have to bite the bullet and stay on set for 16 hours. However, I do think that circling back about rates and compensation, or, you know, maybe cutting a day at the end off that's unnecessary, a wrap day at the end off that's not necessary. Like, I'm not sure exactly how that works. Is there overtime in this world?
There should be.
Yeah.
I mean, it just depends if you're union or non-union.
Yeah.
Because, like, it depends on what situation you're in and what set you're on. If you're, like, on a college set, then of course not.
Right.
Like, USC grad, no, they're not going to follow that kind of stuff. But it's, like, one of those things where you have to remember whatever industry you're in, it's built off of relationships.
Yeah.
So if they burn you, just put that in your back pocket and know that they have burned other people before.
Right.
You know? And then that's a talking point when you're going into other jobs. Yeah, I actually, you know, did some day player work, or I worked for this X company once. Oh, yeah? How was that? I did that too. Oh, wow. You know, I learned a lot.
Yeah. Lots of learning.
Lots of learnings. And then people are like, yeah, totally. And then that's, you know.
Yeah. And then they know not to pull that shit with you, basically.
Right. But there's also always going to be some time where you have to just like book it in your mind as like the school of life, school of learning. You're going to learn shit. And there are going to be days where you spend 16 hours on a job or 16 hours on set and they're not going to pay you overtime. Mm-hmm. And you just have to chalk it up to like, okay, well, never again. But it did happen to me.
Yeah.
Just like when you're a comedian, there's always going to be nights that you bomb.
Yeah.
There's always going to be jobs that either don't pay you on time, or you have to chase them down, or they overwork you. And then you'll just have to be like, okay, for my repertoire, not again.
Yeah.
And our producer, Robin, love you, Robin, brought up a story about a director who wanted to say no and accidentally was like, okay, well, I'm just going to quote my rate is going to be X amount of dollars, which is outlandish. They'll never say yes to this. And then they did. So knowing that, Fred, what's the dollar amount? Say there's a brand or a job that you never want to work for again. Mm-hmm. What is the dollar amount that would make you turn back around and be like, okay.
Ooh, great question.
Now let's just imagine that this is a 10-week job.
Okay. Ooh, that's a long time, too. Mm-hmm. That's a long time to be dealing with a company or brand that is not your first choice. Mm-hmm. I would say day rate-wise, or...
Yeah, let's do day rate.
$2,000.
2K a day?
Yeah.
I mean, that's great.
That to me, that makes me feel like, okay, I guess I'll deal with some bullshit for 10 weeks if I'm getting 2K. I mean, even 1500, yes. Nothing less than that, though.
Right.
Because this is a long time, and your mental health is really important, and you want to make sure that, like, at least you're coming out of this. If it's going to be a bad experience, at least you're coming out of it with something to show for it. I don't necessarily know if it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, versus, you know, working, taking on two additional jobs that add up to that amount. You know what I mean? But they're for brands or companies that you actually enjoy working with or who respect you and your time. Mm-hmm. Like, I would definitely weigh my options there.
Mm-hmm.
But if there were no other options and they really wanted to work with me, that's been the case before. There's been a brand that really wanted to work with me, but they submitted a creative brief for a campaign that I just, like, wasn't moved by the brief. I was just like, I just don't know if this feels, like, organic enough. I don't know if it feels like, I mean, and so I turned it down. And it was for a decent amount. It was mm-hmm. for, it was like a 20K
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
deal. And then, and also too, the turnaround was really quick. That's what it was. I was like, I don't really like the brief. And also this is like a lot of rushed work. And I was just like, this was when I was able to, I had a lot of work options. So I was able to really pick and choose,
mm-hmm.
which is not the case now. But then they came back around and offered me 10K more. And were like, we really want to work with you. And I was like, okay, fine.
I mean, yeah.
And I was like, and I didn't just say, okay, fine. I was like, well, this is great. And also please let me have like, let me get weird. Let me, like, be fun. Let me, because it was very just, like...
Basic.
And yeah. I was, like, And you would think that, like, doing basic work should be a good thing because it's, like, oh, I'm getting paid a lot to do something very minimal and basic, but that's just not my vibe. Like, I really want to showcase my personality in any of the content that I
create. You have to. Create
because that's also why they're coming to me.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's important to, like, set those boundaries and set those expectations. And they let me get weird, and it was actually one of my favorite shoots.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, also think about, like you said, like, for that dollar amount, say if they gave you 30K, right? That's enough money for you to take a month off.
Yeah.
So even if it's a job, back to the 10-week example, I think I would accept $1,000 to $1,500 a day.
Mm-hmm.
And probably a little bit more. Let's say $1,200 to $2K a day. Because if you think about $2K a day, that's $10,000 a week. You know, 10 weeks, that's $100,000.
Oh, it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's life-changing.
That's life-changing money. It's also, like, money you can take some time off. So yeah. Even if it's the worst job in the world, which you'd never want to be in that position, you could take a month or two off afterwards.
Afterwards and just to decompress. Take yourself on a little trip.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So think about it that way. Like, how much money would I accept so that I can get budget for time off after, this is a bad job.
That's such a good point, Deb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So those are mostly our biggest mistakes. I'm sure we'll make more.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. we will circle back with a part two once we have a list of all of our new mistakes that we've made.
Yeah, but if you haven't, check us out on Instagram at Money Honeys Podcast. Submit your questions for us about freelance work there, because, I mean, we're freelancing inevitably or indefinitely. So just ask us your questions because we're still learning. And,
yes.
You know, we're also pivoting in our careers this way and that to become bigger and better. So, you know, it's always just a school of life over here. So let us know what you're thinking and check us out on Instagram. Check us out on Twitter at Freddie. Are you at Freddie Ransom?
So on Twitter, I have so many screen names. So on Twitter, I'm at @ransom_note. On Instagram, at Freddie.
Mm-hmm.
On TikTok, Young Fred 90.
Where did that come from? I know where Young Fred came from.
Yeah. You know, I've tried to change my TikTok name. Handle, they don't let you do it. So this is where we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Find me at Dev Lytle. Dev Num Nums on Twitter. Although it probably won't be on Twitter much longer. Anyways, we love you guys. Thank you for listening. Hope you learned something.
Until next time. Bye. Bye.
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.